Good morning. And a warm welcome to Christchurch Edinburgh this morning for our Christmas family service. If you're here as a visitor, we warmly welcome you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of the service, there will be some tea and coffee served, so please hang around at the end and we'll have a chance to speak to you then. Notices, there's a notice sheet as you came in, or you've received it electronically. Just to highlight one or two things, just to remind you that we meet this evening at 6 o'clock for a carol service here in the hall, and Jim Patterson, one of our former members, will be the preacher at that service, and we hope to see Jim and Megan tonight. So please come along this evening at 6 o'clock for that carol service. During the week, we have our prayer meeting on Wednesday, and then next Sunday services at the usual times of 11 and 6. A couple of other short notices. One is to let you know that Andrew Cloud and Ailey have got formally engaged. So that's all I know. I got a text last night to say that they got engaged and I could let people know. So that's what I'm doing. So that's Mowley, as in Andrew, and Ailey, who were with us here for a couple of years. They are now engaged, and I will let you know any further developments. One other thing, I'm looking to try and find something that I've lost, and that is if I get the right name for it, we have a kind of banner that somebody made, a short pendant banner that someone made, and for the life of me, it was in the room next. Cannot find it, and so if anyone knows who that is, maybe somebody's taken it for safekeeping, I don't know, I'm not making any accusations or casting any aspersions, but I'd be quite keen to find it. It's got a Christmas theme, and obviously this time of year it would be useful to have, so if you know of anything where that might be, you can come and speak to me quietly at the end. I won't tell anyone, so honestly. Let me read as a call to worship this morning. We've got our young people taking part this morning. It's a slightly different service than normal. We have the Sunday Club taking part and also Blazing Gospel. And I'll introduce them as we go through the service. But as a call to worship, let me read these words from Psalm 98, where the psalmist says this. He says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He's remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. And all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God." Well, we're going to open our service by singing together a paraphrase of that psalm, Psalm 98, "Sing to God new songs of worship. All his deeds are marvelous." So we'll stand to sing this together.
He has shown to us.
So many good reasons to bless you and to praise your name. We thank you for all that you have given us in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and for all that we enjoy in him and through him. We thank you that he is our great Saviour and King, that in and through him your salvation has been made known across all the earth. And so as we gather this morning for our Christmas family service, we pray that you might meet with us again in this place, that you might meet with us afresh, and that you might draw close to us by your Holy Spirit. We thank you that our Lord Jesus is the rock of our salvation. We thank you that in him we have hope and a confidence. A confidence and hope that extends beyond the limited horizons of this life, but into eternal life, into that life that you have planned for all your people. Father, we thank you that Jesus Christ is our great conqueror and King. We thank you for the victory of his death and resurrection. We thank you for the triumph of the cross and for the promise of his coming again. And in this season of Advent, we remember in particular his incarnation. We thank you for the way in which he stooped down into our world, taking to himself our flesh and blood, becoming one with us, that he might rescue us, redeem us, and transform us. Lord, as we gather, we confess our sins. We acknowledge we are not the kind of people that we should be. But Lord, we thank you that in Jesus Christ we have one who is able to make us more human, more like himself. Lord, and we look to him that he might be our strength and our Saviour and our King. So Lord, bless us this morning as we gather. Bless all who participate. Help us to see Jesus and to worship him in spirit and in truth. We pray these things in his name. Amen. We're going to sing together our second item of praise. That's a carol entitled Child in the Manger. So, Child in the Manger, Infant of Mary. We'll stand to sing this, and then after that, the Sunday Club are going to come and do a little presentation for us. So, let's stand to sing.
All our demons.
to the Sunday club and I'll get out the road.
Give us a couple of minutes while we get set up. This is Plan B, which I think, and judging by the number of emails in the last couple of days, is Plan B version 227.
The first Christmas. Long ago, in a land quite far away, an angel told Mary she would have a baby.
And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end."
Mary and Joseph went to Bethlehem.
And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of some lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child.
There was no room for them at the inn. They had to stay in the stable.
And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn.
Baby Jesus was born that night. Angels told the shepherds the good news.
And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly most praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased."
Some wise men followed a star. Sometime later, they brought gifts for the baby Jesus.
And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy, and going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother. And they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh.
Although this is the end of our story today, like the angels, we can tell of this wonderful news. Like the shepherds and the wise men, we too can worship Jesus today and every day.
Thank you to Tim and Sunday Club, and I know that there's been a few changes to everything over this past week, in fact over the past few hours, but did very well, so thank you for that telling of the Christmas story. We're going to sing again, this time the carol is Once in Royal David's City, and again we'll stand to sing this together.
Thank you.
He's going to read to us from Matthew's Gospel, the first chapter, and verses 18 through 25.
Now that the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way, when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit, and her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which she has conceived in her from is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but they knew her not until she gave birth to a son, and he was called Jesus.
Okay, I'm now going to hand over to Gospel of Blaise. They're going to do their presentation for us, and once again, I'll get out of here.
Stand there. Name?
Mary.
You?
Sarah.
This is Officer Tofel. I am Saul, an investigator after truth.
You're a tent maker.
Was a tent maker. You are here as part of my inquiry into why many Jews here and abroad are so worked up about that man Jesus.
Like me, I suppose, although you seem to be the one worked up. Why us out of hundreds of followers? What's driving you? Are you not ashamed of what happened to Stephen?
Silence. I ask the questions.
Truth cannot be silenced. Are you picking on us?
Possibly. Let's start where it all began. Had you heard about the goings on at Bethlehem, where it all started?
That was over 30 years ago. Yes, but I didn't understand then what I heard.
What? That the Messiah had been born?
That's right.
Surely you can't take that seriously. Not in a dump like Bethlehem. I mean, come on, it's fake news.
I used to think that, now I know better.
Like Herod, I suppose?
I don't know, he was paranoid enough to do anything. It didn't need a rational explanation. All those child killings, but it makes a kind of sense.
No, it doesn't compute. The whole thing is just too silly. A thing like that, will it happen in Jerusalem or somewhere important? It's just a storm in a teacup, like all the other rumours over the years.
Rumours? You mean about the Messiah?
I sure do. All made up.
Suppose I could substantiate these rumours. Would that help convince you?
Go on then. Cut us with it.
You do believe the Holy Books?
Of course. That's why we're here.
Read this, please.
But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times.
Well, that's from Micah, isn't it? Ah, but the text doesn't fit. This ruler would be a descendant from the great house of Israel. The man in Bethlehem was just a carpenter, wasn't he?
No, Joseph, he was the husband, was of the line of David, directly down from Abraham.
Therefore, the prophecy is fulfilled.
Possibly, but it's hardly conclusive.
Nothing in this life ever seems to be. Some things just have to be taken on faith.
You remember faith, don't you?
Don't try and dodge the issue. Let's just stick to the facts here.
One more thing. Here's another script, even older than the first one. Tell me what you think of this.
A voice of one calling. In the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Well?
You knew about John the Baptist. You met him, didn't you? Doesn't that text sound familiar, even though it was written 300 years ago?
Now read the next phrase.
The virgin shall be with child, and will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel, God with us.
That's what happened. The Holy Child was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Another piece of prophecy which has come true. Now listen to this last extract.
For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
All words spoken by Isaiah hundreds of years ago.
Yes, yes, I know the scriptures, but to say that the man the Romans crucified was the Messiah, that's blasphemy. He was just a man, nothing else, and a loser, as it turned out.
But he rose from the dead. We can't deny that. You can't deny that.
I certainly do deny it. You've just made this whole Bethlehem thing up to suit with your rebellious cause.
So Isaiah was just making up poetry? So the wise men followed the star to Bethlehem for nothing? Shepherds in the fields, aroused by a host of heavenly beings, to come to the lowly place of birth, by accident, Herod's horrendous reaction, all this just pure coincidence? I don't think so.
You don't think so? You believe in a Messiah who did not crush Roman rule and re-establish the glory of Israel? No chance. Anyway, I have no more time to pursue this at present. You'll be kept in custody here and will wait again when I return. Right now, I have an appointment to keep in Damascus. Take them back. We'll settle this on our return from Damascus.
Mary and Sarah's lives had been transformed by Jesus. Saw and Tophel knew the scriptures but didn't, couldn't see the truth. Despite Mary and Sarah's efforts to explain the truth using scripture, Saul and Tophel were blind. They claimed to know it all, yet they missed the point. God was just beginning the transformation of their lives. Many people claim to know what Christmas is all about. They claim to know what Christianity is all about. They may know some scripture or some stories of Jesus and Christmas, but they don't really know the truth. The truth about God's grace and mercy displayed in the birth, life, death and resurrection of Jesus Christ our Saviour. Only God could open the eyes of the blind. Pray for those who you know who need to see and understand the truth of Jesus Christ. We need to pray their eyes would be open to see, their minds are open to understand, and their hearts open to accept the gospel. God calls us to share the good news of Jesus and pray. God transforms lives.
Do you know someone that needs to hear about the amazing gift of Jesus? We want to challenge you to pray for them and tell them about Jesus this Christmas. It's the perfect opportunity. As you came in this morning and were welcomed by a lovely doorman, you were handed one of these bells. It's a bit of job right. Right, on your seat you should find a pen you may have to share. Take a moment to write the name of that person who needs to know about Jesus on your bell. As you do that, spend a short time praying for them. We then want you to take the bell home and place it somewhere that will remind you to pray for and talk to that person. You could even put it on your Christmas tree. We will need to share the amazing truth about Jesus this Christmas. Let's pray. Dear God, please help us to share the good news of Jesus with our friends and family this Christmas. Help us to stay say the right things and act out the love as you have shown us. Amen.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. Folks, that was excellent and much to think about and to be challenged about. We're going to continue, we're going to remain seated. We're going to sing the carol that goes up on the screen in the bleak midwinter. And at this point in the service, we receive our gifts and tithes and offerings for the work of the gospel. If you're visiting, then simply feel free to pass the plate along as it comes to you. So remain seated to sing in the bleak midwinter.
Christmas is not about the presents or Santa. It is about how Jesus died for each and every one of us through his love and grace. Be with our local community as they prepare for Christmas. Help us to take opportunities to spread the good news of your love by spreading the Christmas message. With the frosty weather, be with the homeless on the streets and families struggling to cope with a lack of money. Help charities such as Bethany and food banks to provide for them fairly. Be with those in hospital. Give doctors, nurses and families the support they need. Be with us all as a local church to support each other and share openly with one another. Draw us close to you and focus on you now, we pray. Amen.
I'm going to sing again, this time the carol is "O Little Town of Bethlehem, How Still We See Thee Lie." We'll stand to sing this together. Scriptures, this time from the Old Testament, from the book of the prophet Isaiah. And in Isaiah chapter 7, we're going to read from verse 10 to 17. And that's, if you're following one of the church Bibles, it's page 572. So it's Isaiah chapter 7, reading from verse 10 to the end of verse 17. Let's hear and read God's word together. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz. Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test. And he said, Hear then, O house of David. Is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the boy knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings you dread will be deserted. The Lord will bring upon you and upon your people and upon your father's house such days as have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, the king of Assyria. Amen. Some years ago, a friend of mine was walking through George Square in Glasgow at Christmas time. He was on his way to church on Christmas Eve.
And at that time, there was on the north side of the square a really massive manger scene, life-size representation of the stable, Mary and Joseph, and the manger complete with the baby, various shepherds and wise men and all sorts of stuff. And as he approached the display, he saw standing there two police officers, two of Glasgow's finest. Semper Vigilo was the motto of Strathclyde Police at the time. And there they were, standing guard at the manger. And as he walked past, he stopped and engaged the officers in polite conversation. Said, "Guarding the manger," he said with a smile. And the officer's reply took him aback. "Well, yes, we're guarding the manger. You see, last year, the baby Jesus was stolen." Well, we might say, well, that would only happen in Glasgow. I'm actually not so sure, because I think there's a sense in which all across the Western world, the baby Jesus has been stolen from Christmas. The central figure of Christmas has kind of been snatched away. And we're gathered here today to, in one sense, put Jesus Christ firmly at the centre of our Christmas. Taking time, yes, to gather together, to sing carols and hymns, hear something of the Christmas story once again, and to worship the one who was born in Bethlehem some 2,000 years ago. That's part of the reason that each of the Gospels were written. They were written that we might put Jesus Christ not simply at the centre of our Christmas celebrations, but actually that we might put him at the centre of our lives. These Gospels were written so that we would understand that this man, Jesus of Nazareth, lies actually at the very centre of human history itself. So let me ask you this morning, what are you going to do with this Jesus? What are you going to do with the good news of this Jesus? How are you going to receive that message? Are you going to reject it, or are you going to embrace it? And to help us think about that this morning, and this will be shorter than my normal, so I'm just putting that out there in case you think this could go on for a while. It probably will, actually, but anyway, that's another story. To think about it this morning, I want us to consider two different people and how they responded to the message that God sent them. Actually, two men connected by this prophetic word that we find in Isaiah chapter 7. "Therefore, the Lord himself," verse 14, "will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." Now, in that original context, this prophetic sign comes as part of an exchange between the prophet Isaiah and King Ahaz. And it was in the midst of a challenging political situation, and Isaiah's message to the king was this, was that he should put away his fears and his doubts and place his trust and confidence in God and in God's word. He even offers the king the opportunity to name any sign that he wants, and God will do it in order that Ahaz might believe and trust in him. And yet Ahaz's response is to refuse this offer. He prefers to do his own thing. He prefers to go his own way. Actually, he favours alliances with foreign powers like Assyria rather than allegiance to Yahweh, to God. He remains steadfast in his unbelief, and he rejects this word that comes from God to him. He rejects it completely. So God tells the king, well, even if you reject it, I'm still going to send a sign. A saviour will come, but Ahaz will have no part in him. God will not be with Ahaz. Emmanuel will come, but he will not come for Ahaz. The sign of Emmanuel will be for the house of David. He will come at a time when the nation is desolate. But what I want you to understand here is that the big issue in Isaiah 7 is one of faith and trust in God's word. That was the question that the king Ahaz and his contemporaries had to wrestle with. In whom would they trust? Would they trust in God's word, or would they trust in their own wisdom? Ahaz did not choose the way of faith. He rejected God's word as foolishness and instead put his own trust in his own self, in his own wisdom, and ultimately in an alliance with Assyria that would ultimately prove disastrous. Now, I wonder if you can see why Matthew has quoted this passage from Isaiah here in the first chapter of his gospel. The gospels were not kind of random pieces of information all thrown together. They were carefully crafted literary, theological pieces of writing. They were carefully put together. And the reason that I think, in part, that he quotes here from Isaiah is this. In Matthew chapter 1, we're introduced to Joseph. And we discover that he is also a man with a dilemma and a choice to make. The question is, will he, like Ahaz of old, follow the reasoning of this world? Will he trust in his own instincts, or will he put his confidence and trust in God's word? Will he follow his own counsel, or will he follow the counsel of God? And Matthew 1 describes for us Joseph's predicament. He found himself, we say, between a rock and a hard place. Mary, the woman to whom he was betrothed, was discovered to be pregnant. He wasn't the father. And that news must have come as a devastating blow to him. His life really turned upside down. All his plans and future hopes dashed. And maybe we don't feel the force of this today as we might have done at one time. This drama was not unfolding in some relativist postmodern Western culture, but in a very traditional Middle Eastern culture. There was sure to be a scandal. Mary would be in disgrace. Joseph and the families would be shamed and dishonored by what had happened. And Joseph drew the logical but erroneous conclusion. He wrestled with the problem. What should he do here? He was a righteous man, a just man. He could not, in conscience, marry Mary, who he thought to be unfaithful. If he was to do that, it would have been an assumption of guilt. Should he go public and expose Mary to disgrace? In the end, he decides to solve his dilemma in what seemed the best way possible. He would not put Mary to public shame and disgrace, but opt for a kind of private divorce. Put her away quietly. And this is where he is in Matthew chapter 1. He's worried, he's anxious, he's fearful. The pattern of his life has been disturbed by this news. He has a heavy heart, he's an uncertain future. And then into this situation of disappointment and despair, there comes a messenger. A messenger from God. It comes a word, a message from God to him. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And this message completely shatters Joseph's carefully reasoned out plan. Like Ahaz, he's told, don't be afraid. Like Ahaz, we're told that he's a son of David. Like Ahaz, he's called to believe and trust in God's word to him. And against all his natural instincts, Joseph is being called upon to take Mary home as his wife. And of course, taking Mary home meant that he was also taking the child that she was carrying home. It meant taking Christ home. In a very real and tangible sense, Joseph had to receive, literally, Jesus Christ into his life, into his home, into his family. He was called upon by God to do the very thing that he felt he just couldn't. It was going to bring shame and disgrace. He felt it was impossible. And sometimes that is what God's word calls us to do. It calls us to on a path of discipleship that sometimes entails rejection and disgrace. And it's not easy. But by faith, Joseph trusted God's word. And he embraced that little baby in Mary's womb. And friends, that is what the gospel tells us. It tells us that we must receive Jesus Christ into our lives. We must welcome him in. The Christian life is not about doing your best, trying harder, pulling up your socks, trying to be moral or religious. The Christian life is not about getting a little bit of help or guidance from God here and there. The Christian life means that Jesus Christ comes into your life. He comes in from the outside. And as for Mary and Joseph, he comes in through a work of the Holy Spirit. Becoming a Christian means believing God's word and receiving Jesus by faith. Becoming a Christian means knowing that God in Jesus Christ is Emmanuel, God with us. It means discovering that Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ, the God who is with us is also the God who is for us. So what will you do with the message of Christmas? With Emmanuel, with Jesus? Will you be like Ahaz and reject him and reject the message in favor of your own wisdom? Or will you be like Joseph and receive Jesus Christ into your life? By faith. This Christmas, by God's grace, may it be the latter. Let's pray. Lord, your word tells us to lean not upon our own understanding, but rather to put our trust and confidence wholly in you. Lord, we find that so difficult, so hard. We don't find it easy. And so, Lord, we ask for your help and for the guidance of your Holy Spirit that we might put our trust in you and in your word to us. That we would not reject your word, reject your Savior, reject the Lord Jesus Christ, but rather we would welcome him in. And enjoy his presence with us, the presence of God with us, now and always. We ask it in his strong and precious name. Amen.
Well, we're going to close our time of worship together by singing a modern hymn that speaks of Jesus as our Emmanuel, Jesus as the one who is God with us, and may that be our experience this Christmas season. Let's stand to sing.
King of heaven, now the friend of sinners, humble. servant in the Father's hands, filled with power and the Holy Spirit, filled with mercy for the broken man. Yes, he walked my road and he felt my pain, joys and sorrows that I know so well. Yet his righteous steps give me hope again. I will follow my Emmanuel. Through the kisses of a friend's betrayal, he was lifted on a cruel cross. He was punished for a world's transgressions. He was suffering to save the lost. He fights for breath, he fights for me, losing sinners from the claims of hell. And with a shout, our souls are free.
Shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace this day and always. Amen.